Hey, what's up, folks? This is Tony Brewer and Aaron Dotson with Christianity Now. We've got a good show planned for you today, hopefully. Aaron is down there in Arkansas in the middle of a gospel meeting. I don't know what the weather's like down there, but I'll tell you what it's like up here. We had about 6 inches of snow on the ground, and then get up this morning, and it's spitting snow, and then now it's plumb snowing. So how's your middle of May going?
Get that. Well, March.
Yeah, middle of March.
Yeah. I was like, man, y'all ain't that far ahead of us, are you? A couple hours at most, right?
2 hours turned into 2 months. Yeah, no,
it's pretty good down here. Pretty good weather. It's warmer and allergies are in full bloom. So I've got it all going on. Took my allergy medicine a little while ago, and that's...
There you go.
Got the burning sensation and the sneezing and stuff. So it's rough, man.
Y'all don't have snow. Y'all got inches of pollen.
Yes, I really haven't seen any, but I guess we probably do. I hadn't noticed it on the car yet, but
gotcha.
It's been cool at night and in the morning and nice during the day. So it's been good. They said it's going to be abnormally cool this month for us, actually, for the rest of the month.
So it's not global warming.
Yeah, that's what it is, hopefully. So,
how's your gospel meeting going? Is it well attended?
Yeah, it's pretty well attended, pretty well. You always wish it was more, but yeah, it is. It's not like, you know, nobody here, you know. Good. It's a good bit. You wish more of your own members came.
Sure.
And you wish, but we have a good bit of members that do come, and we've had some support from some other congregations too.
Yeah.
And that's what it is. That's what it is. It's an edification event.
Well, you know, as preachers, it's difficult to relate to quote-unquote regular members. I remember whenever I was working a secular job for a living, and you know, Wednesday, take for instance on Wednesday, you know, you get in at 6:30 and you've got young children, your wife gets in about that time, and you know, pick up the children from the babysitters. Luckily we had my parents close by and they would watch the children for us. So we didn't have to put them in daycare or anything like that. And we homeschooled, so they helped us with the homeschooling. And it was rough because, you know, by the time you get to Bible study on Wednesday night, you've been going since, you know, 6 or 6:30 in the morning. And you've barely had time to come home and wash off a little bit and cram something in your mouth. And then you're sitting there at Bible study.
Yep.
And even if it's only one time a year to do that for, you know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And I don't know what y'all's meeting dates are, but.
Yeah, through Wednesday here. Yeah, Sunday through Wednesday.
So, got you. You know, just doing it Monday and Tuesday, I mean, that's rough. I get it. You know, it's, you know, on one hand, you could say, well, you need to be more dedicated and worried about spiritual things. Yeah, you're right. We should, but man. You know, we're just trying to tread water. And
yeah, I try to be mindful. There's other people going to work at 5 or 6 o'clock in the morning and not getting off till 4 or 5 in the evening. And I try not to berate the brethren. Yeah, I try not to berate the brethren.
Yeah.
Now, people is just not doing anything. They're not working. They need to be rebuked. We don't need to rebuke hard the people that are already diligent working. Often they need encouragement. Like, stick with it. Don't get tired. You know.
Yep.
You know, I'm talking about as far as attendance and coming to these events.
Yeah. You know, along that same vein, going around and visiting and stuff whenever I was in Arkansas, you had people that you'd go see and they'd be like, oh, it's just so hard for me to get there. You know, I really want to be there and this, that, and the other. And like, you can. Like, you can be. Like, I know you can.
Yeah.
And then you go visit somebody, and I visited this one woman, and she, older woman, taking care of her invalid husband, you know, in his old age, and they were both old. And she starts crying. She says, do you think God's going to forgive me because I've taken care of my husband? I've missed church so much.
It's like, no, he ain't gonna forgive you because you ain't sinned.
I guarantee
that's what you want to say.
I didn't dare say that because I didn't even want to lead with that.
Well,
no, he's not gonna forgive you because there's nothing to forgive. Like, I just told her. I said, listen, I visit a lot of people, and I sit in a lot of people's homes, and I try to get them, you know, to be faithful to the Lord, which. right, wrong, or indifferent, one of the litmus tests of faithfulness is attendance. Yeah. You know, it's not it doesn't define a faithfulness, but it is a it's a symptom of faithfulness.
It's a visible marker, that you can see. That they're there.
And I said there are so many people that are well able. Mm-hmm. And they're just like, God knows my heart. He knows I want to be there. I just can't. And then you got somebody like you that actually cannot be there, and they have good reason. I have no problem at all, and I have every confidence that when you stand before God on the day of judgment, He's going to say, "Well done, good and faithful servant."
Yes. Sunday, I mentioned. I did a brief introduction to the speaker before the person did the announcements at the beginning. You know, I used to do the traditional, right before they get up, you might say a word real briefly. But now I'm I just do it at the very, very beginning. Just in case you don't know, this is the guy that we have, and here's where he's from. And, you know, and if I have a personal connection with him, I'll just mention, you know, I've known him since X amount of time. I knew him when he was preaching where my wife worshiped before I met her. And that's the case with Alan. And I heard him growing up too, because he'd come through our area preaching different areas. But anyhow, I said at the beginning, one of the things that's pressing in our day and time is watching church online. So I at the very beginning said, look, if you have the ability, and we have opportunities this week, you're required to be here. You can't do church by watching it online. That's not the assembly. That's not the Sunday assembly that's required. And that's not Monday night and Tuesday night gospel meeting assembly either.
Yeah.
Like you can't say, anyhow, I didn't go on and on. All I said was, you don't get what God intended by watching it online. And you can't do that for Sunday service and think that that's what God wants for the Lord's Day worship.
I wish people would pay it. They're so stupid. An elder would get up there before the church and say, we're so thankful to everybody that's here with us and everybody that's with us online.
It's like, no, that's...
That's stupid.
That's perpetuating the problem.
You have shown that you lack a basic ability to reason if you've actually thought about that statement, decided to use it.
Yeah.
I don't think you thought about that statement, decided to
Me
use
either.
It. I think you just don't think, which is
not
probably indicative of a worse problem.
Yeah, if we're honest, that would show then that we haven't thought about what we're doing before we get up there. I mean, and say that. We're perpetuating the problem.
Yeah, I wish, I ain't going to lie to you, man.
I don't like the live stream.
Yeah, I wish, I'm dead against it.
Yeah.
Well, it helps me when I'm home. Well, get out.
Yeah.
But I can't. Then learn how to have a relationship with God.
Yeah.
Because if you're depending on a live stream, your relationship with God isn't what it should be.
I talked about that when everything was real high during COVID.
Yeah.
I said, this is something I've been reflecting on. If we need to watch something, not if we want to. We want to because we miss the people there. We want to see them. I'm saying if you feel like you can't have a time of devotion and reading and studying and all that kind of stuff without watching a video, there's a real problem there. You need to be able to do that without seeing a video. Take your Bible out, pray, even like with your family. If you have to have a family worship because your road is blocked and you can't make it to service or whatever, you ought to be able to worship God right there with the Bible open, it's not that. Anyhow,
I know.
But I said that about the meeting. I said, this is a very special event designed to edify the church. Don't stay home and watch it online. If you are able to be here, be here. I said, I get it. If you're throwing up, it's impossible for you to be here. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about you are able to be here. And I said, here's the thing. We have members who seemingly are barely getting in here because they're in a lot of pain. I said, they're an example to us.
Yeah.
And you know, when I said that, Alan amen me out loud. I got a support from the guest speaker, you know, the truth got the support. I got my saying it got the support. It was like, we have some members that are are seemingly barely getting in here because they're hurting. They're in pain. But they're here unless it's impossible for them to be here. I use the word impossible. Like, so if it's impossible, you know.
If you have to, and let me be clear with this. I am not against putting a sermon or a lecture from a Bible class online.
Yeah.
I'm not even dead set against live streaming a sermon.
Yeah.
I think expedient. I don't think it's expedient to do it. I really don't.
Yeah, I don't.
I think it's a net negative. But I think the entirety of social media is a net negative, despite the good people that are putting out positive stuff trying to fight against it.
Well, my thoughts and some of my suggestions I've made in recent times has been the people that really can't come, the brethren that can't come, yeah, they need to be able to do devotions at home. But also, I think we could make it a little bit, for lack of better words, maybe another hoop or two for members to jump through. Nothing impossible, but another hoop or two that they need to jump through so that the elders can kind of gauge who's watching and who's not watching more. You know, like they can't be here. We know Sister X can't come. She's flat of her back. Okay, well, how about we just record the service and upload it later? That's my suggestion. We record it, upload it later, and have a portal that only our members can act. What happens is, in my opinion, what happens is this online streaming of the assembly turns the assembly into something that it's not. And it has outsiders. It starts shaping the way we do the assembly because, after all, people that ain't here are watching. Thankfully, I tell you, two things we've done that I do like. We cut the live stream as soon as I say, come as we stand and sing kind of thing. And at the beginning, we do not live stream the announcements. And I have heavily supported that because I said the announcements and the invitation is so personal that people are not going to want to announce things knowing somebody over in Jamaica or somebody over in, you know, South Louisiana is watching and old Billy Bob got hemorrhoids, but it's a serious case, so we need to pray for him or whatever. I'd throw a little humor in there, but you know, it like the people aren't going to want to go forward, like request prayer and stuff, if they know somebody they don't know that's not even in that building could be watching them. It takes away the personal, physical location benefit, you know, of it. It turns it into something. And a lot of people treat the assembly, unfortunately, like an evangelism project, and it's not. The assembly is for the Lord's church.
That's it.
Not and sinners.
That's an odd thing. I've had an eldership come to me and say, hey, you know, you've been preaching this good sermon through the parables, this good sermon series, but some of the members are wondering, you know, why you're not preaching more gospel sermons aimed at converting souls to Christ. I'm like, what do you think the parables are?
Yeah, for real.
You fools.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You have no authority, you have no qualification at all to be an elder or in an eldership if you think it's a good idea to set the preacher down and say, why aren't you going to preach more gospel sermons, converting people, focusing on converting people to Christ, whenever your preacher is preaching through the parables?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, good grief, man. I'm so sick of these ignorant, foolish, toxic, insane people. These Machiavellian, dark triad shysters that get elevated because they're willing to do anything to get the position.
Yeah, because they've only been married to one woman and they got to...
I know, and they're good businessmen.
Yeah.
No ability to reason and think through Scripture at all.
It's a great detriment to the church.
I know. Man, it makes me so angry. And if you're wondering, well, Tony, you shouldn't be angry. You need to go kick rocks. And you need to get to know Jesus better.
Yeah. This morning, I was just reading Mark 3:5. Jesus looking at them with anger. You know, a lot of people don't know that verse.
Yeah. That's it. Insane, foolish people. Sounds like a segue into our topic. That's it. So to finish my thought from earlier. this idea about not being able to have private devotion time at home when you, like, you got a tree blocking your driveway or something like that,
yeah,
goes back to an article that I shared in the comments section. Signs of a codependent congregation, an unhealthy attachment to leadership. And I want to give you the signs here. Bear with me. Sorry.
Get it out.
Fear of dissent or questions. That's lack of personal spiritual disciplines. In a codependent congregation, the members often lack personal spiritual disciplines like prayer, fasting, Bible study. Personal growth is often overshadowed by communal activities, diminishing the role of the individual. In other words, they can't be a Christian by themselves, is the idea. They got to be surrounded by people.
Yeah.
But the one I wanted to focus on for this, and then we're going to segue into the show topic about talking about balancing faith and patriotism, an over-reliance on programs and activities. The account of Mary and Martha in Luke 10:38-42 provides an instructive lens through which to examine a congregation's priorities. Yeah. In this account, Martha becomes engrossed in the task and activities of hosting Jesus, while Mary chooses to sit at Jesus' feet, listening to his teachings. When Martha complains, Jesus gently informs her that Mary made the better choice. We don't need to be a bunch of Marthas that are only interested in the optics and making sure that, well, we got to make sure we have the programs done right. We got to make sure we have the youth events. We got to make sure we have these gospel meetings. We need to learn how to sit with Jesus quietly. We need to learn how to sit at the feet of the Master. We need to learn how to have a relationship with Jesus personally.
Yep.
And not rely on, well, yep, if a tree's blocking my driveway, then I just don't get to worship today.
Yeah, so I'll just watch TV. I mean,
exactly.
That's the thing, you know, it's like, well, I can't go to church, quote unquote, so I guess I'll just, you know, work in the garden. It's like, it's the Lord's day. You can't go. You can still worship at home. No, that's not the regular norm. But yeah, God still deserves to be worshiped and praised. And your mind, you know, if the Lord's Day is a regular part of your life, that's what you're thinking about on Sunday morning. Like, you wake up, oh, there's trees across my driveway. I can't get out. But I'm still thinking about Jesus. I'm still thinking about Jesus rising from the dead on the first day of the week. I'm thinking about how I would be taking communion with my brethren. I'm going to sit down and offer songs of praise and pray and read the scripture and, you know, whatever. I mean, like, instead of, oh, I'm going to check out, I guess I'll just work on the house. You know?
I'm with you. And be careful when you listen to us. Be careful about false binaries. Because we're saying this, we're not saying, well, if you watch a service and you're going to hell.
No.
We're not saying that. We're not saying if you listen to a lecture online, you're going to hell. We're not saying because listen, it is the case that, let's say, the gospel meeting with Washington Avenue, those sermons from Alan Webster online.
Yep.
You know, you're the trees across your driveway, and you know what? I'm gonna sit in the living room with my wife and children, and I'm gonna read some scripture. I'm gonna pray. We're gonna partake of the Lord's Supper, and then to guide our minds in some thoughts about God's Word, we're going to listen to a lesson from Alan Webster that is pre-recorded. That is no different than going to a book and reading from a devotional
book. Yeah, like a little lesson book or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just a different medium. So
I think the main thing that you and I we agree, and we want people to make sure they know, is that to watch something like watching a Sunday service simultaneous to the people conducting it,
yeah,
is not keeping Hebrews 10:25 on Sunday.
That's right. Yeah.
And I told the brethren,
to stay home because you want to watch the service on TV, you're forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is.
Yes. Yes.
And you only have to do it once. You can forsake the assembling yourselves together.
Yeah.
If you only do it once.
Yeah, there's some people that say, "No, it has to. You have to, you know, do it for 100 times." No,
it's attitude. It is not frequency.
And like, though Monday night, Tuesday night, and Wednesday night of a meeting are not the episunagoge, not the Lord's Day assembly, if you just choose to not be a part of the local church, why are you a part of that congregation? Like, that's the work they're doing. Why are you choosing to stay home and watch TV? I'm not talking about if you're sick.
Yeah.
You
are not submitting yourself to the congregation.
You're not. You're not
submitting yourselves to the authority of the local congregation.
No, that's the problem.
And you're in violation of Ephesians 5.
Yeah, but I'll just watch it at home. Again, that's why I offered the words. Again, if you're able, you need to be here, because you can't get out of it watching it online, even a Monday night, what you would get out of being together in one place for a gospel meeting. Like, in person always beats online. Online, I said, at best, online is a stopgap measure. That's all it is. It's better than nothing when you can't come.
That's it.
That's what I emphasize. And believe it or not, I said all that in like 60 seconds or less. Good. So I was kind of proud of myself.
Yeah, Barry O'Dell, Mammoth Ring Church of Christ. This was never an issue in my experience until the virus.
Yeah.
People feel guilty when they miss because of sickness. They want communion at home because they missed. Listen, if you're sick, you're sick. Yeah. Exactly. And here's the thing. Before the COVID-19, what happened, and it was a coping mechanism. It was a coping mechanism because Christians wanted a pass for not meeting.
Yeah.
You got a virus that has a 99.75% survival rate if you're not vaccinated.
Yep. Yep.
But Satan used it to shut down the work of the local church.
Yep.
Yep. The denominations absolutely put us to shame with this, with COVID. there were preachers in the Church of Christ that were like, yeah, we got to do what the government says. We can't meet, we can't meet, we can't meet. And then there were denominational preachers going to jail because they were meeting.
Yeah,
I don't know, man.
Scott Beck made a comment that makes me, and brethren would gladly pick you up if you can't get out. That makes me think of something. It bothers me when people are like, I just can't get out by myself. It's dark. It's hard coming by myself. And people offer to pick them up and they turn it down. That bothers me. I'm sorry. I know I'm not the final judge, but it just...
I know.
You know, it's like I've offered, not here, this is no one here, incidentally, but it's another place I was, and person was like, I'll pass. You know, it's like they didn't, it's like, we'll pick you. I don't want to be a bother. It's like, no, you're better off being at the assembly. We don't mind picking you up. It's like, why do you not want to be there? I don't know. Pride, just really don't want to be there. I don't know what the issue is. It's different for different people, I guess. So, segue.
That's it. So, I can't, I'm just as I'm sitting here, Peter wrote the, it is in 1 Peter. Where is it in 1 Peter? We're supposed to pray for the people in authority, dignitaries, all that.
I think it's chapter 2.
2. 1 Peter 2.
Somewhere between 13 and 17, I believe.
Yeah. I thought it was the very beginning of the chapter, but I could be wrong.
Maybe you're thinking of 1 Timothy 2. It says to pray for them.
Yeah,
that may be what you're thinking about, because that's at the beginning of the chapter in 1 Timothy 2.
Is it? Maybe it is.
Yeah, that's what you're thinking of, I think.
Yeah, because there's two different.
Yep.
Oh, this is the text. This is the 1 Timothy. I thought it was Peter.
There you go.
All right, listen to this. We're gonna read this section. And thank you for all of your comments. Thank you so much. We had a 24-minute ranting session. These are the kind of things that get under our skin and bother us. And it's not because we're hypercritical of the brethren. It's not because we're unloving. It's not because we're jaded. It's because we see these things.
Yep.
And
they need to be addressed.
Yes, and we hear how people talk, and we hear how people treat the assembly, and it you ought to be filled with a righteous indignation. There's nothing wrong with anger, and I know the psalmist, he wrote, through thy precepts I gain understanding, therefore I hate every false way. So it's difficult, right?
Yep.
To keep your composure and not just, you know, quite frankly, it's difficult to keep your composure and not be like Jesus.
Yep.
And flip some tables and run some animals out of the temple with a whip of cords.
Oh, well, that was the Jews. Well, wait a minute. Those were the people of God at that time.
They were the covenant people.
Well, that doesn't need to be to do in the church today. That's the covenant people today are in the church. So it's parallel.
I'm not saying literally.
Right.
Whole heads.
No.
But I do think back to a bygone era where a man was subject to hull a head or two if it needed it.
Sometimes, the main thing I'm thinking of is sometimes a public, specific rebuke about these things. You know, an identification of the problem and a refutation of it to shame people.
Yeah.
Don't think this way. Don't do this. It's wrong. Instead of just this, well, you know, if we do what, and just preach the good stuff and, you know. Like, can you imagine, I know you've probably thought that or said that, like Jesus going around, like some people think, he just went around telling everybody they're okay, you know.
They didn't crucify him because he was the great encourager.
Right, he didn't get crucified because, and same way with the early church, they weren't persecuted because they went around and knocked on doors and asked people to eat hot dogs, you know. Nothing wrong with eating hot dogs if you like hot dogs, but like, you got to get the truth to people, and the truth divides people that don't want it. That's all there is to it, you know.
Absolutely.